Turn to our Bibles this morning and read a passage of Scripture. Say a few brief thoughts on it this morning as God would lead our heart. I pray that He would be honored by it, and I pray that we would be edified as a church. To be edified means to be built up, to be grown stronger in the Lord. And I pray that the Lord would help us to do that. If you're here and you're lost today, what we mean by that is that you've never had a time and place in your life where you've experienced the forgiving hand of God in your life, where you understood your condemnation before God, that you were a sinner and that you needed salvation and forgiveness, and where in repentance and faith, trusting in the Lord, He reached down and forgave your sins. And so if you are in that situation today where you don't have a time and place like that, I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. If God draws your heart or shows you your need of Him today, pray to the Lord. Go to Jesus. That's the invitation of Scripture. We don't practice at this church that we'll take you in a separate room and tell you a certain prayer to pray or give you a card to sign or anything of that. We don't believe we have the power to save, but only God does. And so we point people towards the cross. We point people towards Jesus and encourage you to seek Him. And I encourage you, if you're lost today, to seek the Lord for your salvation. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark today. Gospel of Mark. I encourage you, if you have a copy of the Scripture, to read along with us. We'll be in the 12th chapter of Mark. We're going to read the last few verses of that chapter, starting in verse 38. Mark 12, 38 through 44. The second half of our passage will be very familiar to you. It's one of the two Gospels that covers the account of the widow and the offering of the two mites, and that'll be the focus of our attention this morning. I pray that God, again, would be glorified today as we share the few thoughts that He's put on our heart. Mark chapter 12, verse 38, it says, "And He said unto them in His doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And He called unto Him His disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." And we'll stop our reading there. Let's have a moment of prayer, if you would. God, we come before You today thankful for Your Word, thankful that we live in a day and age of the canon of Scripture where we can read and see You being revealed in Your Word. God, we understand that it's spiritually discerned today, and we ask that You would be our guide and help to enlighten our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to see what it is that You're saying to us and saying in these passages. I pray, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of the Word, but doers also, that as a church, that we would go out into our workplaces and our schools and our families and our neighborhoods, and when we live out Your Word, that we'd be living sacrifices to You, and that Christ may be seen through our lives. Lord, we need Your strength and help to do that. If there's anyone here today that is lost, that's never been saved, we pray today would be that day, God, that they know the forgiving hand of God, they know Your forgiveness, and they know Your love in their hearts, and I pray that this would be that day. We love You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thankful for our passage today and for the truths contained in it. I think, for the most part, most of you probably just in reading it have an understanding of what Jesus was saying. And so we won't get super in-depth or bring out some new and wonderful thing here. But we just want to point out some of the truths that Jesus was teaching here, both in His warning against the scribes and in His commendation or His praise of the widow and her giving of her two mites, and some of the principles that are taught there. I think they'll be helpful for us. First of all, I want to compare and contrast the widow and the scribes. I think this passage is written the way that it is to do that very thing. In the first portion there, verses 38 through 40, Jesus is giving a warning. He's saying, beware, giving a warning about these people called the scribes and the way that they handled themselves and the way that they lived. And then shortly after that, he watches as people were giving their offerings at the synagogue and sees a widow giving of two mites and begins to teach his disciples some lessons based off the picture of this woman giving all that she had to the offering. And so what we have is a comparing and contrasting between the scribes and between this widow woman. And so I want to look a little bit about who they are. And I think in understanding who they are, we can understand a little more about the lesson being taught. First of all, let's think about the widow in context of the culture in which she lived in. She had everything going against her, really, as far as society was concerned. First of all, she was a woman. And in society at the time, as a woman, she had little voice, little power, no authority at all. And not only that she was just a woman, but she had no husband. She was a widow. So she has basically lost her voice in the public arena. She has no way to express herself because normally a woman would have expressed herself through her husband in that day and age. And so not only as a woman is she in a lesser place, but now she doesn't even have a husband to speak on her behalf. So she is of very little significance from a worldly perspective, from the cultural looking at her and her life. She had very little power, very little importance in her day and age. So not only was she a woman and she had no husband, no voice in the public arena, but she was also poor. She had no money. She had very little in way of wealth. We can see, actually, we're told by Jesus that these two mites that she gave, which really combined were less than a penny of worth, was all that she had. She gave everything that she had. So she was very poor. So she was a woman, she had no husband, and she was also very poor. She had little to nothing to contribute to the synagogue and to the religious works of those days. So that's the widow, and we see her in that light. Secondly, the scribes. That's what Jesus talked about first and was giving us a warning. Scribes were professional students of the law. Okay, the law of Moses in the Old Testament, they were professionals in that. They interpreted the law and they tried to apply it in people's lives. They were professional students of the law. They were defenders and teachers of it. So people would come to them to hear the teaching of the law and they would defend it and talk about it. They knew it inside and out. In that, they had a lot of influence over the people of their day and age, right? People would come to them to have them interpret the law, to tell them what it meant. To hear of its meanings. So they had influence over people's lives. They were in a position of power, a position of prominence. So they were men, they were powerful, and they had influence over people's lives. They certainly had more money than this widow. They were absolutely the opposite as far as society was concerned compared to the widow that's spoken after her. They were polar opposites as far as their cultural significance. I think we can see that kind of clearly and plainly. So, that's the widow, talked about in the second half, and the scribes talked about in the first half. Jesus gives both a warning and a commendation, or a praise, a warning against the way that the scribes lived, and a commendation to what the widow did, and points her actions out and teaches his disciples by it. First of all, let's look at the warning, okay, in the first three verses. He says, "Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing." So the first thing he points out about them is that they love to go in long clothing. That would mean that they love to wear robes. These long robes that would have been catchy to the eye, that would have shown their prominence and power and position in the society in they lived. And he said, beware of the scribes. They love to wear these long clothing. They love to be seen of other people that they are who they are. Right? They love to draw attention to themselves by wearing clothing that will draw people's eyes, people's attention, people's praise of them. They love to do that. So the first thing he says is beware of them. They love to wear these long clothes, these long robes. Secondly, he says, love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. So they love when people greet them or when people come and talk to them when they're in the marketplace or when they're in the daily lives. You can think about where you would go on a day-to-day basis at the grocery store or in your town. Well, it says here of the scribes that as they were out on their day-to-day lives and in their places, they loved salutations. They loved when people came and noticed them, spoke to them, gave them attention, that the attention was given to them. Again, Jesus is warning people about this. okay? So they loved to wear long clothes or to be noticed. They loved salutations. They loved when people came and talked to them, when they became the center of attention. And most of these warnings continue in that same line. It says, and the chief seats to the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feasts. So this was the most important seats or the most important places of sitting. In that day and age, the rich people had the most important seats. They had seats that were separated to themselves, and oftentimes they would have to give more offerings in order to get those seats. You know, I joke around in Baptist churches today, we would have to make the expensive seats in the back because that's where everybody wants to sit today. But the reality is those chief seats were the ones in front. And when they were at feasts and when you were at in the synagogue, those people that had a lot of importance, those people that had a lot of power, those people that had a lot of money, had those important seats. And so Jesus is warning of the scribes that they are those who love those chief seats, those important seats at the synagogue and at the feast. They always wanted to be in the forefront. All right, he goes on. He says, which devour widows' houses. Strong language Jesus uses here about really consuming widows' houses. This is about taking advantage of widows when they're at their most vulnerable place, trying to take advantage of them for their own gain or their own wealth. They want to devour the possessions of widows because they are vulnerable, they cannot take care of themselves, and these men of power and position and of wealth, even in these widows that are vulnerable, they come and devour them. They come and take their possessions for their own gain. And he says, beware of these men. Okay, so they devour the houses of the widows and for a pretense make long prayers. Pretense there, it means to make a show. Okay, so it says these men, they pray for a very long time as a show for those that see them. All right. Okay, so Jesus is painting a very clear picture of who these men are today. Religious by nature, yet all they're doing is to be seen in and of themselves, right? They're drawing attention to themselves. I want eyes on me in the marketplace. I want to be in the forefront of the church and of the feast. I want people to see me as powerful and capable and having influence. And they wanted everyone to think about them and who they were, okay? And Jesus warns against this type of living, these kind of actions. He gives a warning against it. Beware of the scribes who do these things. Secondly, I want to draw your attention to the widow and what Jesus saw her do. And we'll, again, contrast these. All right, so Jesus is, after teaching about giving the warning against the scribes, he's sitting against the treasury and beholding how people cast their money into the treasury. So he's sitting in the place of the synagogue where the people would come and give their offerings to the synagogue and watching how when they give. And it says, many that were rich cast in much. So those that had means were casting in a lot of their money into the offering. And then he goes, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. So these are of very little value. I actually read a couple different places where people prescribed different values to it. Some said just a dollar or less. Some said less than a penny. Some said basically there were two copper coins that had very little value. I don't know their specific value to us today, but it was very little. And so Jesus watching the rich people coming and giving their big offerings, here comes this poor widow woman, and she cast in two mites, which is a farthing, and called unto him his disciples and said unto them. So he witnesses this widow giving all that she had, calls the disciples over to teach them in this teaching moment. And we'll just read his teaching one more time. He says, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. So all the rich people that had come before and given all of these larger offerings, he says to them, this widow who gave two mites has given more than any of them. For all they did cast in their abundance, but she of her want, of her poverty. So she gave in her poverty while everyone else gave in their abundance, right? It was proportional. And the proportion that she gave was far greater than the proportion that those that had wealth gave. All right? Now listen, I don't believe that this is a lesson about rich people are bad and poor people are good. And sometimes we take that and we try to create all of these teachings around it that aren't really there. But there is a teaching here about about giving, not just financially, but the giving of our lives to the Lord and our service to Him and how we do will work for Him in His church. And there are some lessons here that I think are valuable for us to learn. So, he condemns the actions of the scribes, and he uses the actions of the widow as a lesson to his disciples. What was significant about the two mites that she gave? It was more about what she had left when she was done than what she gave in the first place, right? No one would argue that the sums of money that were given by the rich had more value and monetary worth in their society in the day and age in which she lived. And so no one would argue that they gave more financial value in giving to the synagogue these values. But the significance of what she gave was the fact that when she was done, she had nothing left, right? She gave all. And we say the saying, and you've heard me say it, that we need to be all in church. This is a picture of a person who was all in. She was sacrificing all that she had for the sake of the Lord's work. She was giving it all. She was all in. And so we see that in what she gave. So, comparing and contrasting between the scribes that wanted to draw attention to themselves, wanted people to see them in their long robes and their long prayers and the things that they did. They were consuming the widow's property in their time of vulnerability to try to gain on themselves. And yet here is this woman that has very little to give in the eyes of the world. The world would have looked at her and said she has no significance, she has no voice, she has nothing to offer to the cause of what we're trying to do in all the things that we're doing. She has nothing to offer, and yet the Lord says what this woman has done is greater than all that had given before her, right? So Jesus looks at things on a different scale than we look at things, right? He turns the evaluation of human worth upside down. He says, no, it's not those who have servants that are the most important, but it's those who choose to serve in this world. Now listen, those who are wealthy can be just as much a servant to the Lord as those who are poor. So again, it's not condemning the rich and praising the poor, but it is in the heart of the matter. It is in what is significant is the heart, and the Lord looks into the heart. Let's look at just a few lessons. And again, we won't be long today, but I want to look at a couple lessons in comparing and contrasting these. First of all, I want you to see what serving Christ is not about, okay? Serving the Lord is not about being seen. It's not about making a name for ourselves. And much of contemporary religion today has turned it into just that, right? I am going to serve the Lord to make a name for myself so that people know who I am, that I have a position of power or prominence, so that people look up to me and see me, and that's why I'm going to serve the Lord. I remember my wife was once invited to church because they said, hey, you should come to this new church. It's really exciting. There's a lot of people here. There's a lot of good opportunity for PR work. Said that. That at this church that you could PR, you could get to know people, you could advance in business. Listen, serving the Lord is not about being seen. It is not about putting ourselves on the forefront, but it's about being abased in ourselves and exalting Christ. Christ should be the one that is seen. Christ should be the one that is exalted. We should truly fade into the background. So serving Christ is not about being seen. It's not about being known. It's not about being important. And it's not about being opportunistic, about finding a way in for yourself or a way to advance in yourself. If your motivation for coming to church or your motivation for serving the Lord is self-centered about other people seeing you or advancing yourself, then you're missing the purpose of why the Lord has established this church in the first place. We are servants of the Lord, and we are to share the good news of the gospel with the world in which He has planted us, within our society. I pray the Lord would give us that heart as a church, the heart that doesn't care to be seen. Secondly, I want you to notice the gaze of the Lord. What is important to Him? What is He looking at? Okay, as He looked at the scribes and their importance and their worldly significance and in their desire to be seen, He gave a warning. He told people to beware of that it was wrong. But as He looked at the widow, and the widow didn't do this to be seen, but Jesus saw her and her giving of these two mites, this is what was important to the Lord. In this sacrifice and the sincerity of her offer, it was what was important to God. And I think we can learn from that. One of my favorite passages that I quote often in Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2 says this. The prophet says, "Thus says the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and that trembles at my word. Let's draw a line through that real quick. Okay? The Lord says, the heaven is my throne. The heavens is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And he says, where is this house that you build for me? You see, they believed that in building the temple, in building these buildings, that they could contain God within the four walls of a structure. And he says, where is this building that you build for me? Where is the place of my rest? Asking these questions. He's saying, listen, you cannot contain me within the four walls of a building. You can't contain me within one place. He is bigger than these things. He says, for all these things have my hand made, and all of these things have been, saith the Lord. He says, just imagine anything, the biggest and grandest, most great creation of man in this world. He says, listen, my hand has made these all, made all of this, right? God is bigger than those things. The sister talked about looking at the ocean, and that's one of my favorite things to do, is to look at the immensity of the ocean. It is just massive. And I think about growing up in Alaska and all the big mountains that I saw and all of these things that I saw. Now, you could take that mountain and you could throw it into the ocean and it would disappear. That's just how immense that it is. It is just an amazing thing that God has created. And I think about the immensity of the mountains and the immensity of the ocean. And in comparison to God, it's absolutely nothing. It's dust on a scale, right? It's very little. You think about the earth and the earth containing all the mountains and the oceans and all of us, and it's just a little pinprick in the galaxies that the world, in all of the universe. It's so small. And so God says, well, you know, where is this great grand building? Where are these big things that you think can contain me? Where is this thing that you have built for me, the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But listen, this is the best part. He says, but to this man will I look. Okay? Means he's not looking at the big grand building that you made out of marble and gold and silver and all of these things. All of this stuff that you have made as a tribute to him or to anything. He says, my eyes aren't focused upon the big and the shiny. He says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. That doesn't mean poor in wealth. It means poor as in humble. He says, I look to the humble and of the contrite in spirit and those who tremble at my word. Those that reverence me and that fear me and that love me. Okay? Listen, the Lord turns the evaluation system of the world upside down, right? When you talk to the important people of the world about what is important and powerful and wonderful, what are they going to tell you? They're going to point you to the biggest and greatest buildings and the most magnificent things and the men that have power and influence and political gain and all of this stuff. And the world will evaluate men based off where they are on these scales. It was the same then as it is now. People look at them like that. But God says, where are these buildings that you built for me? My hand has made them all. This is where I look. To those who are humble, those who are contrite, and those who tremble at my word. Are you thankful today for a sovereign, all-powerful creator that cares about those who are humble, those that are little, those that the world turns their noses up and says are of little importance and significance and don't have a public voice in arena? Listen, I may not have a public voice in the government of the United States of America, but I have a throne room in heaven that I have access to, right? I have a voice amongst the all-powerful God of creation. And so the world could say, we are of little significance. They may say that you have no importance or power in this world. But listen, if you're a child of the King, if you're a child of God, you have a voice with the almighty, powerful God of heaven. You are the most. You have power beyond explanation. So listen, the gaze of the Lord is on the humble and the contrite. Jesus looking at those men with the long robes and those that had the best seats in the synagogue and at the feast, he says, oh, beware of them. But here's this little widow woman stumbling into the synagogue to drop in her two mites. And he calls over his disciples and he says, look at this. This is sincerity. This is sacrifice. This is being all in for the Lord. Evaluation system flipped upside down. thirdly, and I've already mentioned this, but giving to the Lord is about sacrifice and about sincerity. It is not about sum, right? Sum, S-U-M, math term, when you add things together. If it was about sum, then those that the rich people would have given would have been the lesson for his disciples, but they weren't. I don't think he condemned the rich people for giving a lot here. I don't know. It doesn't give us details of that, but that's not what Jesus called out as the lesson to teach his disciples. What he called out was the widow's two mites. And so it wasn't about some that mattered to Jesus. It was about the sincerity of the offer and about the sacrifice that it was to the woman that gave it. Who made the greater sacrifice? Well, the woman made the greater sacrifice. It was all that she had. It was everything. They gave out of their abundance. She gave out of her poverty. Listen, when we serve the Lord, how often are we doing things that are a sacrifice to us? That challenges me today, right? That is one of the greatest challenges to my own work for the Lord, is that I will do enough until it becomes a sacrifice for me. Until it cuts into what is important to me, then I'm going to draw the line, okay? God forbid, God have mercy on me, that I might have the heart of this woman that would be willing to give all and be willing to give sacrificially to the Lord, right? That what I do has an impact. And if, you know, we want an impact and we want power in our churches and we want to reach our community, but sometimes the proportion of what we're giving, and I'm not talking about money here, I'm talking about our service to the Lord and what we give to him, it's not sacrificial at all, right? We give enough so that people see that we're giving and that we're going, but we don't give enough to where it matters, that it's sacrificial. This woman gave sacrificially and she gave sincerely, right? God loves a cheerful giver. Whether that's financially or whether that's with your time and effort into the Lord, he wants a sincerity, and this woman had a sincerity about what she gave. Completely opposite of what the scribes had, right? They wore those long robes not in a sincerity to try to look a certain way, but to try to draw people's attention to themselves. And you see these things. So it's a challenge to those of us to commit ourselves, to be all in, to give sacrificially to the Lord. And if we want to see an impact in our community and we want to see our church with power and growing in the community in which we live, then we're going to have to give sacrificially. We're going to have to give. We're going to have to be committed to the cause of God. Not only is it a challenge, but I believe it's an encouragement. It's an encouragement to those of us that don't think that we have anything to give, right? How many of us sit around and say, I can't do anything for the Lord. I have nothing to give. I'm this, I'm that, right? The widow probably could have done that. Oh, I'm a woman. I have no husband. I have no money. Could have sat around and gave all the excuses as to why they cannot be useful to the Lord. And this is the very woman that the Lord commended. This is the very woman that the Lord used as an illustration and as a lesson to his disciples and to record in Scripture, right? Listen, you may think that you have nothing to offer, but you are exactly what God wants to use. He takes the little things in the world to confound the big things, the foolish things to confound the wise. God loves this, and throughout Scripture we see all the time God taking that which in the world's eyes was insignificant and using for his glory and for his honor. Listen, don't make excuses for yourself today, but give yourself to the Lord. Little as much when God is in it. We love the song, and the saying is so true today. You may think that you have nothing to give, but what an encouragement to see that a widow with no power gives two mites, and this is exactly what the Lord uses. Listen, God wants to use what you have to offer him today. No matter where you may be, no matter what situation you may be, what financial status you are, or the importance that you think you hold in this world today, if you're a humble, sincere, and sacrificial servant of the Lord, you are exactly what he wants to use to advance his kingdom and to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're it. What's more encouraging than that, than the Lord using those that are weak? That's our message today. I pray that it has been in some way useful or helpful to you. I'd like to sing a song as we meditate upon God's word, and I want to encourage you today to follow the Lord. If he has a testimony or a song for you to give, give it. Be obedient to the Lord. If you need to pray today, pray. Seek the Lord. I'm thankful to the Lord. I pray that my life would be given all in for him, because certainly Jesus' life was all in for us, right? He gave it all on the cross of Calvary that we might have salvation, that we might have an eternal home in heaven. And today he calls us to make our lives a living sacrifice. That is what is acceptable to the Lord. That is our reasonable service. And I pray that God would help us to do that. God bless you today. Let's have that song if we could.